reminding me of some of the wonderful admirations I have for my mother, and I'm sure that many of you have for your mothers too. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up tonight to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're going to look at, continue on in our stewarding theme, and on Sunday nights we've been going through. We still have a few more left, but tonight, because it being Mother's Day, we're going to look at stewarding your family. Stewarding your family. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 is the, there's a lot of passages in the Bible that refers to mothers, fathers, families, responsibilities, brothers and sisters, all types of things. But this is one of my favorite passages of scriptures when we consider and deal with our responsibilities and how we can steward the gifts that God's given us. Now, we've been talking in the stewarding campaign, and his thoughts is that if life is a gift from God and God gives us different things, that we should be wise with the things that God gives us, that things are not our own, but instead we are on things are on loan from God to use for God's purpose, to use for God's plan. And here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 tonight, we're going to look at what God feels like we should be doing with the family that he has given us. And I really honestly believe this with all my heart. I believe that God has loaned us our children. They belong to him, and we should treat them and take care of them as if we are doing it for God. And I, like I said, when I began to thinking of it that way and began living my life that way, it changes how you parent. It changes your relationship with your, even your extended family, the way that you treat your mom and your dad, the way that you treat your brothers and sisters, the way you treat your nieces and nephews. You have influence there. God has given you a particular family with particular people in it. And you might say, yeah, I love my family, but I like to get rid of this one. Then you're not being a good steward of it. You should want to grasp a hold of every person that God has put in your path and every person God has given you in your way, and steward your relationship with them. Brings me to the thought of an illustration. Consider if maybe one day you were at work and you were doing whatever your job was, and your boss came to you and said, hey, I need you to go and run this errand for me. And your boss says, I'm sorry, I didn't bring my car today. It was in the shop. And your boss says, why don't you go ahead and take my car? And of course, you know that his car or her car is some type of really expensive, brand new 2014. I don't know if they have 2015 nowadays, Mercedes or BMW or Lexus. And you had looked at it before and saying, man, someday I'd like to drive that car. Man, someday I would love to be able to own a car like that. I would just like to be able to take that out and just, you know, burn some rubber with it. And you get your opportunity. They give you the car keys, and you get in there and thinking, man, this is great. This is wonderful. And then you get behind the seat, and as soon as you turn it on, you remember, and you think, uh-oh, I better not do anything wrong in this car, because if it gets a little scratch on it, I'm going to be fired or I'm going to be in big trouble. And then you spend the next 10 or 15 or 20 minutes that you thought was going to be a great joyride in this expensive car. And for you, it might be a BMW. For somebody else, it might be a new truck. For somebody else, it might be whatever it is that you would think would be the greatest thing to drive. And instead of enjoying the ride, you know what you do is you worry about it the whole entire time, and you want to take good care of it. You want to make sure that you park it in the right spot. You're not going to park it down with everybody else. You're going to go and be one of those people that park their vehicles all the way down the other side of the parking lot. You ever seen somebody like that? They think so much of their vehicle, they park it all the way down there. I don't know if they think so much of their vehicle or they think so less of the people that park around them. I don't know which one it is. But they park their vehicle and they walk all the way there. And you want to make sure you take really, really good care of it, because it's something that is of value and it's something that is valuable. You don't want to return it with a scratch. You don't want to return it with any type of ding. You don't want to return it any worse than when you took it. And you're going to be very, very careful and pay very, very close attention to it. Now, if we would take that great of care of something that someday is going to make it to a junkyard, then how much more valuable should we take care of our families that are living creatures, what God has given us? And I really believe, like I said before, that God, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And our children are on loan from us, from God, to raise for Him. Is it not incredible that we would take such great care of the depreciating possession, but we fail to invest the same level of energy and protecting and nurturing our children. And I know you say, well, Pastor, I don't have any children, or Pastor, I'm so old, my children are gone, or Pastor, you know what? This is, can apply to any relationship we have, but especially to our family. God has placed us in a certain spot for a certain reason, for a certain purpose, and we need to learn how to steward it. Life is a gift from us, and what we trust is from God is another life that God has let us enter into our life. This is an impressionable gift. It has an impressionable life, and we need to steward this. This area of stewardship should be our most guarded, prized, and valued. If you're a parent, then this should be important to you, extremely important. If you're married, your mate should be extremely important to you. Children, if it's for your parent, if you're a child and you got parents here and that's all you have inside your family, steward that relationship. You have one chance these years to be a blessing to your parents. And you can be a blessing. You should determine to be a blessing to your parents. It's not just about your parents giving you everything and taking care of you. The Bible has different responsibilities for a child too. You have a short period of time to be a blessing to your parents and grandparents. So how do we steward our families? How do we steward these relationships? There's three things tonight, and I don't plan on keeping you long, but three things I'd like for us to look at. First thing, we steward our families through our testimonies. We steward our families through our testimonies. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're going to go verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, in all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Now, I just want you to take a little special look at this when he says, "thou and thy son's son." Now, here's the thought. He's being given a commandment here, and he's saying, look, you need to do this. Then your son needs to do this. And then your son's son needs to do this. And obviously, he could have kept on writing. Then your son's son's son needs to do this. How did he do this? It's by watching and by learning. If we want to steward our relationships and our family, we must do it through testimony. And let's continue on reading as we look at in verse number 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Verse number 5, it's a very famous verse, and it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Verse number 7, it talks about not only stewarding through our testimony, but also stewarding through teaching. It says, verse number 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Wow. We see there in those verses, God expects us to teach our children the way of God. I know many times we like to put that on our Sunday school teachers. We like to put that on our pastors. We like to put that on the junior church teachers, the Christian school teachers, the public school teachers. But here in those verses, we see that God is saying it is our responsibility to teach them diligently the things of God. And we're going to look at that in a little while. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the service, and just ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we thank you for the nice day we've had so far. Lord, I pray as we learn this morning that we do learn to have to be just praying. Lord, we talked about praying mothers. Lord, I pray that we raise up a generation of mothers that prayed like we saw those in the Bible that did. Those in past generations that have prayed and their children knew that they prayed for them. Their children knew that they cried out to God and their children knew that they cared enough to pray. Lord, let our barrenness give us burden. Lord, let our burden break us, Lord, so we can cry out to God and seek after him. But Lord, also as we consider the wonderful treasure, Lord, the real treasure of our life, the greatest thing that you've given us, Lord, our family. And Lord, I pray that we learn how to steward this treasure. And Lord, that we just grab a hold of this treasure and we learn through your word what you want us to do with this treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord, tonight, when I was looking at the message and trying to understand exactly what the Lord would want me to do, I was going to focus on verses 5 through 9, but verses 1 through 4 really help us understand that, you know what, if we're going to steward our lives, it begins with the way we act. And here in verses 1 through 3, it talks about our testimony. Now, the passage doesn't begin by telling their parents about teaching the truth to their children. It begins with the testimony of living right. After all, how can we teach anybody how to do something when we don't know how to do it ourselves? Parents must be walking in a right relationship before the Lord will ever have them influence their children's lives in the way that they are needed. In other words, you will never be able to lead your children somewhere that you've never been. And these first few verses, let's look here in verses 1 and 2, speaks about how a parent needs to be showing their children through their testimony, but also especially in their actions here. Let's look what it says. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you shall go to possess. Verse number 2 begins the first in their action. He speaks about reverence. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments. Verse number 2 tells us we need to fear the Lord. That means that we are to walk in worthiness of his awareness of his glory, of his holiness, and of his majesty. A parent's primary responsibility is to walk in the fear of the Lord, and we are to bring our lives under God's lordship. A godly parent places the Lord's will above all other considerations in their life. And realizing the fear of the Lord is the first step in training and teaching our children. And it's the first step of our influence or our testimony. If we will learn to fear the Lord, people will see through our actions that we reverence him. But also not only that we reverence him, that it will be seen through our reactions also. Not just through our reverence, but our reactions. Look what it says. We see that it says, verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his commandment, all his statute and his commandments which I command thee. We see the response. You know, the Bible tells us that if we love the Lord, we're going to keep his commandments. We're going to obey his commandments. And the truth is, our testimony is going to respond as we fear God and as we obey God. When we fear him, the natural response is to obey him. There's no better witness to our children that they see us taking the Bible seriously. They see us taking the Word of God and allowing it to rule our home and allowing it to rule our lives. When our children and our friends and our family sees that God's standards are our standards and that our children are gonna will often want to model themselves after our lives. And we gotta get this, that God's given us this gift. It's our family. So what are we supposed to do with this family? You're a new Christian. I mean, you're a new parent. You got this responsibility. You don't know what to do. What do? You learn to fear God. As you fear him, that means there's going to be a response there. As you reverence him, you're going to respond to that. You're going to want to obey him. And you're going to let the world see and know that God's standards is your standards. That your children will often model themselves in the lives that they see in you. And then it begins to talk about the rewards that are mentioned. Look what it says in verse number 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth of milk and honey. Here's the thought. God promised Israel something. If they followed his word, God was going to take care of them. And here it is if we're going to steward our lives and we're going to live our lives fearing God, and as we fear God, we obey God, and then God blesses us. We fear God, we obey God, God blesses us. Believe me, if your children see you living a godly, holy life before them, and your testimony and your actions, they see God blessing you. They see God blessing the times when you're being honest. They see God blessing when you're tithing. They see God blessing your faithfulness. You know what they're going to want to do? They're going to do the same thing that you've done because they've seen God work in your life. They know it's real because they've seen it. They will learn exactly what they observed in your life. They need to know that God blesses faithful people. They need to know that God blesses those who tithe. They need to know that God blesses those who are honest despite difficult times. And if you see these kids see you enjoying the blessings of the Lord, then they will want the same thing in their own lives. They will want the same blessings because they've seen God bless you. Where does that come from? It all starts with our testimony. It starts with our actions. But not just our actions, but also our love for God. Our love for God. You say, Pastor, isn't the same thing? Well, the passage doesn't tell us, first of all, start teaching your kids. It doesn't say, okay, kids, sit down, shut up, and pay attention. This is what God says. You know what it says? First, you learn to fear God. Then, as you fear God, you become obedient to God. God blesses you. And then you're going to see here that the next part of the passage says that you need to learn how to love God the right way. Look what it says in verse number 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now, here's what he's saying, is that the next step is showing a heart of love. A heart of obedience springs up from a heart of love. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, or if you're a Christian here tonight, say, oh, I love God. You know what the litmus test is? You know, are you keeping his commandments? You can't outgive God. You can't give God something he doesn't have. But you know what? Are you being obedient? The only thing that God desires from you is your heart. And he wants you to love him with all your heart, all your soul. That's talking about the seat of emotions or passions or appetites. He wants to, with all our might, talking about our energy and strength. If we want to turn our hearts, children's hearts, to God, we must have first a personal walk with God that is real. That is real and from your heart. One person put it this way: you can con a con, you can fool a fool, but you can't kid a kid. And what do you mean? Young people know if you're being sincere or not. Young people know if you truly care about them. You know, young people do not want something that their parents demonstrate to be of no value. They could care less about the religion that your parents do half-heartedly. Make no mistake, though, this instruction is not a call to be half-hearted or an insincere for love when he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Thousands of young adults whose parents profess Christianity but have no genuine heart level, life-changing personal walk with God, are walking away from God because they've never seen how to love God and their parents. George Sweetie put it this way: may God deliver us from a ho-hum attitude. Young people can read their parents. They can see right through their teachers, and they turn away in disgust from a make-believe faith. So here it is, if we truly want to steward our relationships, if we truly want to steward our families, if we truly want to make a difference in the lives of our children, it begins with our testimony. It is our actions and our love for God that speaks more volumes than anything that we would say with words of instruction. We need to make sure that there are no other gods in our life. Too often children's parents see God, them putting other things ahead of everything else in the world, ahead of God. They see a job coming before God. They see a hobby becoming before God, a friend coming before God, even children's sports teams coming before God. And whatever comes ahead of God in your life becomes an idol. And you know what that does? It sends a false message to your children. We are telling them by our actions that this thing we love comes ahead of our love for God. Children need to know that not one thing, nothing comes before our relationship with God. He must be our focus. And we teach this not just only on Sundays, but putting a value on God all throughout our lives, day in and day out, moment by moment. We are raising many times in our families half-hearted, insincere Christianity because of the fact that it was never real to us first. If we really want to steward our relationship, if we really want to say, okay, God gave me this family, first thing I got to do is I got to learn how to love God right. And as I love God right, I'm going to have to be obedient. It's the same way that we talked about finances last week. We must first give of ourselves. And as we give of ourselves and God has our heart, everything else is going to fall in place. You say, well, I don't know how to raise my children. I don't know if I should let them do this or I shouldn't let them do this. I don't know if I should skip church for the ball game. Or I don't know. You know what? If you love the Lord God with all your mind, with all your heart, all your soul, your children will see that you're sincere. They will see you making decision after decision after decision based off of what God would have you to do instead of what your emotions tell you to do. So it begins with your testimony. It speaks through your actions and is demonstrated through your love of God. The next thing is not only through your testimony, but through the truth. We can steward our families through the truth. Look what it says in verses 7 through 9, where we read those again. It's, you can't read these verses without knowing that God wants you to teach the truth to your children. I mean, you just got to be hit over the head with a shovel if you don't get it here. I mean, if you're a parent here and you don't think it's your responsibility to teach your children the Bible and teach your children the way of God, look at these verses. It says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach what? The things of God, the statutes, the commandments of God. And he doesn't even stop there. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest. You know, when do you sit in thine house? When you're eating dinner, when you're sitting around in the living room. Maybe sometimes we need to turn the TV off and start talking about the things of God. And when you're sitting there with your child and just conversing, you say, we don't do that. Well, then you're missing something, because we need to do that. And look, it keeps on going. It doesn't just stop there. And when thou walkest by the way, when you're just traveling, when you're just talking, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, you say, when is that when you're supposed to do that? That means when you're going to bed, when you're getting up, what's on your heart is that your job and your responsibility has been and your main focus should be teaching your children the things and the ways of God. We should look for opportunities. Many times in homes, the parents, as I mentioned before, try to push this whole responsibility on the church. No, it's not that. I'm thankful for every Sunday school teacher who made a difference in my life. And to be honest with you, I loved my pastor growing up, but I had respect for my pastor growing up. He rightly divided the word of truth. But you know who made the bigger difference in my life? My Sunday school teachers. My junior church teachers that taught me the word of God week in and week out. Those who knew my name and those who came to my sporting events. Those who took time and had time for me. And those who I knew pray for me faithfully. And once again, my pastor, when it was a bigger church than this one, did the best he could. But those people influenced my life just as much, if not more, because of the fact they taught me the word of God. And this is what the Bible is saying here, that this is what we need to do. And look what it says. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets before thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, you say, on thy hands. Well, you know what? Back in Bible times, and even some Orthodox Jews, they will actually put scripture on their hands. I've even heard of how they actually will take and tape scripture to their forehead, or they'll put something around their head, and they'll have it written there, the laws and the different things. You say, that might sound weird. And I'm not saying that next week I want you to walk in here, you know, with things written on your forehead. And even though sometimes some of our wives might want to put put on their foreheads, you know, husbands love thy wives. You know, there might be messages that we like to say, here, look at this. This is something you need to learn. This is something you need to get. You know, but that's what the Bible's saying here. It needs to be prevalent. It needs to be in the realm where people see and know that this house is a place that worships God. You know, when you come and someone's knocking on the door, it's a preacher, it's a Sunday school teacher. You know what? I know sometimes you might run around and want to pick up the shoes by the door. You might want to pick up the dishes that are in the sink. When I was a kid, we used to take the dirty pants and put them in the stove. The first time I suggested that to my wife, she says, that's disgusting. But you know what? It gets them out of the way. No one knows they're in there. Isn't that wonderful? I thought you might like to know that trick, guys. You get to take the stove, put in the stove. That's all you got to do. They never know they're in there. Who goes around and looks inside the stove? Nobody does. But now Brother Jim, next time he comes to my house, going to go look in the stove. But my wife still won't let me do that. So, but you think about it here. But the point is, the last things we need to do is be putting away magazines that are inappropriate. Right? I mean, you shouldn't have to be hiding things that are ungodly and immoral because you're trying to steward your family. You shouldn't be embarrassed by the DVDs. And sometimes it is embarrassing to walk into people's houses and you see things that are ungodly just sitting there. And you shouldn't be embarrassed by the things, the CDs you have sitting around. You shouldn't be embarrassed because you know what? God sees it in the first place. If God knows about it, why is it important that the pastor doesn't know about it? Or someone you trust, or someone you, because you're going to steward your family. You're not going to have something that's ungodly sitting there. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying in verse number 8, thou shalt bind them upon the sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets upon thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. You know, I think it's a cool thing when people put scripture in little frames. I think it's really neat when someone takes and they write scripture on the walls. I'm not talking about with magic marker, kids. Please do not go home tonight, take a magic marker and write, Jesus, you know, for God so loved the world. No, that's, there are certain things that you can do to have the peelable things. If you look out inside of our audit, in our lobby, it says that all the earth may know there is a God. That is something that's written. Why is that there? It's because these scriptures tell us to have these things written at our houses. At my house, we don't have a lot. And I know me giving this advertisement, my wife's going to think, great, he's going to give me money to buy more. No, that's not the case. But we have scripture and we have things that re-emphasize. You know, we have thoughts about love written in there. We have thoughts about the family written throughout it. And in our house, we don't have as many as I know my wife would like to have, but it's a constant reminder that this house is a place that reminds our children the love of God. And what... I'm not trying to be mean, but what is that your house? And I know sometimes that people have inappropriate posters. You know, maybe women dressed the wrong way or sporting posters. Nothing wrong with a sports poster. But if that's what the rooms are decorated in and things are decorated in, where's God at? There should be a Bible lying around somewhere, and it shouldn't have to clear off the dust off the top. And there should be places and things that show that this is a place where a Christian lives, and we should not be remorseful of it. In contrast, the idea of letting the church raise your kids, you're missing the whole point. The Bible here specifically says it is your job. Now, should the church reinforce it? Yes. Should you come to church? Yes. Should you, I mean, that's the church and the family should work together. They're both institutions of the Lord. So it's a, should you have a preacher that preaches the truth? Yes, you should have all those things. So as you seek to pass this truth on to your children, ask yourself this question. What do I use in my life to put God's word and God's truth constantly before our children? Because that's what these verses are doing. They're telling us that the word of God needs to constantly be before our children. You always look for opportunities. As a pastor, illustrations are good. I know that you like illustrations, the ones that are actually funny. I mean, you really probably enjoy those. It drives points home. But, you know, you can spend days and times, and even as teachers, you look for different spots and different people to say things to just reemphasize the principles and the truths of God's words. And go home and on Sunday afternoon, you know, what you learn in Sunday school. And then tell your kids what you learned in your Sunday school. You know, sometimes people ask that so that way they can see whether or not their kid was listening. That's not the point. It's to re-emphasize and to reinforce the things that the teachers have been learning and that have been teaching. It gives you a perfect opportunity to bring once again, while sitting around the dinner table, the Word of God, keeping it in front of their child's mind and child's heart. You know, tell your child, this is what the preacher said and this is what I enjoyed. And discuss the Bible. Know the Bible. Love the Bible. You know, it says it here in the Word. You read verses 7 through 9, there's no way of getting out of saying that it's not a parent's responsibility to help teach your children. You have grandchildren? They should know that grandma or granddad loves the Lord and that when they come over to their house, they're going to hear a little bit about God. It doesn't have to be a preaching time all the time. You can have fun and you can enjoy life. Don't get me wrong there, but God should not be pushed out. You're stewarding this relationship that you have. You should not feel uncomfortable about praying before your meals, no matter who comes to your house. You know, they should know that I'm going to pray, I'm going to give thanks to God. If you have certain routines that you do, you should do it when other people are around. Not to show off, but instead to say, this is a place where we're going to learn about God. You say, Pastor, my kids are out of the house. When they come back to visit, don't change your routine if you have a time of devotion. Encourage them to be a part. Let them know about the things you've been learning and being taught. Keep it to the forefront of their mind. The third thing, not only is it through your testimony and through the truth, but also through your time. Through your time. As parents, we know we love our children. We often quantify the love in terms of what we do for them and what we give them. But children many times spell the word love, T-I-M-E. We must give our children time. They need us to personally invest in their lives. They need us to play with them. They need us to help them with hands-on. They need to let them know that we are simply thankful that they are our children. A recent study showed that an average parent spends on a weekday 12 minutes of time with their child each day. because of work, other things, 12 minutes a day with their child. Man, isn't that mind-blowing? And you might say, preacher, I work hard. I do these things. I'm a busy person. You know, we need to steward our relationships with our children. We need to be there for them. They need to see that they are important to us. You know, there is a study that was out there that says most kids say that their parent is the most significant person in their lives until the age of 14. You know, then after 14 is gone, you know what happens? Someone else becomes that most significant person, whether it be a friend, a teacher, a coach. And we need to make sure our children know that even when they become teenagers, in that stage of life, they need us even greater than anybody other time. They need to know that you're there and that you love them and that you're going to be there and you're going to teach them the Bible no matter how old they are until they're out of your house. Most of you know we homeschool our children. And I'm not saying that that's right for everybody. I'm not trying to put some type of advertisement out there. But some people sometimes ask me why. And I tell them one of the main reasons why is, number one, because I believe God called us to do this. But also because when I was a child, I went to a Christian school. And I have no problem with Victory. I think it's a wonderful school. And I'm thankful it's there for the kids that don't have the other options. But when I went to a school similar to that, my parents, as I got older, were not the greatest influence in my life anymore. And, you know, the teachers were, the friends were, the coaches were. But what my interest is, and I've said this in front of my sons too, I want to be the greatest influence in my sons' lives while they're in my house, me and my wife. Obviously, my wife has a little bit more time with them because she's their teacher and she spends more time, and her influence may be even a little bit greater. But that's the purpose why we homeschool our children, because these verses teach us that we should teach them about God. But we can reinforce that through every subject, and we can do that, but I want to be their greatest influence. Can they have activities? Can they have friends? Yes, but they know that their parents are there for them, and they care about them, and they care about every part of their lives. And that's important. What are we trying to do there? We're just trying to steward. We're trying to steward the time we have with them. And I think that the Christian school movement is a good movement. I think it's fine, and I think it's good. I'd be concerned about public schools. I think you got to be very, very careful there. I know sometimes it's not financially able, but you need to know, your children need to know that you're going to be there, be a part of it, and you're just there, and you're going to help them along the way in the preaching and teaching of the Word each and every day. You need to be there and be part of their lives. I want to remind you of a couple words. You know, the Bible says, train up a child. When you train someone, it takes time, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes when you get a new animal into your house, training is something that is a hard thing to do, and it takes time and takes patience. The Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And here's the thought, is the word nurture and the word admonition, they're the two tools that God gives us. And that nurture and admonition, those tools, refers to times of training children, takes time of whole training and education the children, cultivating things. You know what? All that takes time. So what do we do with this? How do we steward these relationships? And we're going to close with this. Number one, it's about your testimony. It's done through your actions. It's done through your love for God. What do your kids see from you? Secondly, it is done through the truth. You do have a responsibility to sit down and teach the truth. You know, husbands and wives, work together. Show each other that you care for one another. Talk about the things you've learned in your devotions. Open up about them. Have devotions together. Learn to grow together with truth. And last but not least, time. You need to spend time with your family. That's the only way you can really steward these relationships. And like I said, each person does things differently, and I think God should lead you in everything you do. And I'm thankful for those that have faithfully been here and taught their children. Man, that's awesome. That's wonderful. And kids, be an encouragement to your parents. Don't, if they want to have devotions, be an encouragement to them. If they want to pray together, don't go, oh man. You know, these are times where we work together and be a blessing. We need to be there for our children. No matter what school they go to, no matter what friends they have, what sports they play, we have a responsibility that is God-given to give the Word of God to them and make it prevalent in their life. Say, well, Pastor, I've been failing at that. These messages are hard to preach because every time I look into the Word of God, I see how much I fail and how much I need to get better at. And when I stand before this and I'm preaching and teaching this to my children, I'm wondering what's going through their minds and saying, you know what, Dad doesn't do that as well as he would like to many times, I bet you. But you know what, this is the Word of God. We let it purify us. We let it grow from it. We want to learn from it. So when it comes to your relationships, whether it be husband and wife, grandchild, grandparent, son and daughter to parent, or parents to children, let us be good stewards. They are all gifts from God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.